All right, let's, well, anything you guys want to say? Something to make it into that intro moment? Hello and welcome to another episode of The Mighty Rewind. This is a weekly podcast where three brothers take a look at a movie and a topic from popular culture that you may or may not care about. My name is Tyler.
You got Brian here.
And you've got Jeff back on the podcast. Sorry I missed last week, folks.
It's totally fine. Things happen.
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the fans.
People wrote in. They're pissed. They're
Do you want
really,
me to give
really
them
upset.
A moment to respond? Sorry. Brian, don't talk for a second. Okay, there you go. There you have it. This week, we're going to talk about the last movie in our Car Chase Cinema series. And Brian chose Fast Five, directed by Justin Lin, written by Chris Morgan and Gary Scott Thompson, starring Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, Dwayne Johnson, Jordana Brewster, Tyrese Gibson, Ludacris, Sung Kang, Gal Gadot, Elsa Pataky, and others. This movie was made on a $125 million budget and grossed $626 million, which tells you exactly why they're still making these movies. Brian, why did you... You came out pretty hard against Fast and Furious when Jeff first was like, I want to do car chase movies. You were like, I don't want to talk about Fast and the Furious. And then when it came around to your turn, you picked a Fast and Furious movie. Explain yourself.
Sure. The Fast and the Furious series feels to me like that, like it's, gosh, I mean, in the box office, it's got to be close to up there with some of the really great series as far as like all-time performance, and yet we talk about those movies like they're bad, you know. And so I the more I thought about it, the more I was like, we need something with like a legitimate bona fide car chase that's like a big part of the movie. And this one adds in an extra level of complication in the form of them towing a safe behind them as they're, you know, stealing a lot of money from, you know, a big, you know, cartel drug lord or whatever. And I just thought, you know what, actually Fast Five is one of two Fast and the Furious movies that I've walked out of and thought that movie was really good. And the other one was the first one. And I remember thinking at the time, like, wow, they just crushed it with like bringing this series full circle, you know, wrapping it up with a great movie and riding off into the sunset. And we're now like four or five movies later and they're still going. So, you know, we see how long that lasted. Money talks. But at the same time, I just remember thinking this movie is solid. And so I wanted to see if it still held up because it had been a few years since I saw it.
Jeff, you've never been a massive fan of the Fast and Furious movies, as far as I'm aware. What do you think about Fast Five?
I will say, I mean, I'm a little influenced by Brian in this one. I remember liking Fast Five a lot when it first came out and watching it a couple times with him. I know that he really, really liked this film, so I'm not surprised that he picked it. Yeah, and I will say I wasn't really able to articulate what it was about this film that I did like, because I did not like the fourth movie. I did not really like the third one. I don't know. I didn't like a lot of these. The first one, I think, holds a...
Or any of them, probably.
No, the first one I liked. The first one was grounded in reality. It was practical. There was, I don't know, it set out everything that it tried to achieve. But, like, as soon as you get to the second one, third one, fourth one, they really start pushing the limits on what's believable and getting really away from their source material. But I will say, I think, I studied up on some fun facts for this film, and so I'll go ahead and get into one of them, which is, when the producers came through to, you know, okay, this film, they essentially said that we need a tonal shift for this franchise. You know, it's always been about racing at the heart of it. It's always been about these people that use racing as this core mechanic. And they wanted to get away from it and say, no, let's make it more like a heist film. And so this film represents a dynamic shift in the direction that they wanted to take the franchise. And I think that was successful.
I mean, you're not the only one, right? The box office speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, like, all of them have a heist mechanic to them except for Tokyo Drift, I think, really. Like, Fast 1 has the DVDs being stolen. Too Fast, Too Furious is...
DVDs being stolen, that's insane.
It's DVD players, sorry. It's not DVDs, players. But yeah, they're stealing the DVD players, which is still a really old sentence.
That's so funny. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hilarious that that's what they're stealing. And Fast 2, they're going undercover in a drug organization. 3 is Tokyo Drift. It doesn't really have a heist mechanic. It's all about racing again. 4 has a bit of a heist mechanic, right? Like, it's, I'm trying to remember. That's the one where Vin gets in with the drug dealer in Mexico and they're going through the tunnels.
Yeah.
Right. I guess it doesn't really have a heist, except it's more of like, that one's more of like a cop drama or whatever, but I guess you're right. This one for sure is like a straight up heist film. Like,
yeah.
This is a straight up, like, the whole time I was watching it, it was like, oh, okay, so this is Ocean's 11 now.
And on top of that, I would say what this film did better than the previous films was this one felt more closely to an ensemble cast film instead of having a central protagonist. In which there was a lot more shared screen time. There was a lot more behind the scenes than just what room is Vin Diesel in at this moment. Yeah.
I mean, he and Paul Walker are still the two main characters. Like, I don't remember Gal Gadot really.
So,
like, she has like one scene where she's in a bathing suit, and that's like her main, like, she's the main point of focus in that scene, but otherwise she's just kind of in the background of a lot of group shots.
Gal Gadot, I'll say, is what I'll accept that she is the exception. Like, her character is not named by name in this entire film. Her character's name is Giselle, and they never once refer to her by name.
Wait, is that true?
Yeah.
That's really unfortunate.
That's fascinating.
Yeah,
that's upsetting to know, to find out. I did not catch that, but wow. I will say, yeah, I don't disagree with that it's more of an ensemble this time. But, like, even, I don't know, they still give Vin Diesel all the cool shit to do. It's, I don't know. Honestly, this movie made me, like, a couple weeks ago, I was like, I'm back around on the Fast and Furious movies. And then I watched this movie and was like, never mind. This is dumb. I hate these, I think. I don't know. I think that this one's not ridiculous enough for it to be fun. I don't know. I think I don't like this movie. Ooh, can we get into spoilers?
Yeah. Well, hold on a second. Spoilers
for this movie and every movie ever made. Okay. Yeah. Let's go, Brian.
This might take the whole time.
Yeah. I thought it might. That's why I tried to get it out of the way yesterday when we were drinking. I was like, let's talk about this movie because I have some thoughts.
Are you saying that the ridiculous nature that they ramp up in each movie is the selling point of these movies to you? Like, that's what you want with these movies?
100%.
I got to tell you, Tej, in the trailer for whichever movie it is, like 8 or 7, being like, they got a tank and it's like on the highway speed chase thing.
That's literally the next one. Yeah. I liked that one.
Like, that's bad. And that kills it to me. This one,
I'm sorry, that scene on the freeway where the tank is ripping through all the cars, that shit is sick.
It's fun. It's fun to watch, but it's not like high quality. I like it because it's the opposite. It's low quality. I don't believe it, but it's exactly. Like, oh shit. But like,
I think all of these movies are low quality. I think that the more ridiculous they go, the more fun that they are.
And that's why I'm arguing this one is so good, is because it's not low quality. I think it's a good movie. And
I disagree. I think this is a bad movie.
Like, it feels like a healthy progression. Like, because when you have a movie like the original Fast and the Furious, yeah, how do you make sequels without ramping something up, giving us something a little extra each time? It's just the same thing that Mission Impossible does, like, because they have big stunts in there. So every time you watch a new Mission Impossible, you're like, what's the big thing that they came up with to trump the last movie? And so these ones do the same thing. I think that's fine. But now I'm just like, How are they not in high-speed chases in rocket ships already? Like, that's where I feel like they're heading, because, you know, the way they're jumping and doing more and more ridiculous stuff is gotten out of hand. I can't get that out of my head. Vin Diesel jumping a supercar from one skyscraper to the next in like Abu Dhabi or wherever he is, and it's just the most ridiculous thing. This one, I think it tones down the ridiculousness, and it just
I'm sorry, what part was it? The part where the that he drives the Dodge Charger with the bank vault behind it, and then he stops and the bank swings around and perfectly clears out two cars? That part was not ridiculous to you?
Look, you got to suspend a little bit of disbelief with any of these, but
how about the part where one guy is he makes it out of the car and he's about to shoot Vin, and then somehow Brian is just behind him the with the car that none of them
heard
come up.
What's your thing about the silent horses? Isn't there like a trope about that? About horses that people can't hear coming?
No one hears anything coming in movies, and it drives me insane.
You made a comment I don't know, 20 podcasts ago about how like there's in some movies like horses, like people riding in on horses that no one ever hears coming.
Ghost horses. It was in Prey, where Predator's about to kill the dude, and then she just rolls up on
and
a horse.
Didn't hear the horse coming. Yeah, horses
are loud. The Predator just didn't hear that horse coming.
Like, and I started laughing. I have a note on that, because I started laughing at the end of this one. Like, Paul Walker just is behind him with the car, and I'm like, you didn't hear any of that coming?
We just spent 30 minutes with those Dodge Chargers ripping through the streets of Rio de Janeiro, and they have the loudest engines. Like, their exhaust pipes are, like, you know, 6 inches wide. They have to be, dude, because of how much sound they're kicking out.
The later movie where Vin Diesel drives off the cliff and the hook catches the car.
Catches the hook?
And
that's
brings
the same
it back.
Shit. He has, like, my
it's
favorite
not the
part.
Same. It is so yes, much more is. Egregious.
That I'm sorry. It is exactly level. The same thing. It
that is
exactly
on
the
same level. Like, I
my
can
favorite
suspend
part
a little
of these movies is that they're just like, nope, it's still about cars. They still use cars for everything. So it's just James Bond with his gadgets, except for their only gadget is a Dodge Charger from 1972.
But that's what separates guys from regular human beings. They're not trained assassins or anything. Like, they don't have some other background other than Paul Walker has a little bit of cop training. Like, other than that, like, the cars is what separates them, because they're all great drivers that invest all their time in driving. So
I'm just hoping that what they say is that eventually they're just like, we ran a DNA test on Dominic Toretto, and it turns out he's actually a metahuman. And he's got he and his gang all have some sort of metahuman gene where they're just like superheroes with cars.
We're bouncing around, and we got to get back to the timeline of this movie. But I gotta ask, isn't Vin Diesel like? Sorry,
I want to add here. I'm on Brian's side. I think that just because you have to suspend some disbelief doesn't mean that you have to suspend all belief. Like, the Transformers film is another great example of the first movie and the third movie, I think, being really good. But if you watch the later films, you've got, you know, Optimus Prime jumping a mile to catch two people falling from the air and rolling, and those two people not being crushed by his hands. And it's like,
Tyler, it sounds to me like you're willing to suspend disbelief if they fully steer into how ridiculous that is. But the moment that they're trying to make it somewhat believable, you're like, I can't suspend disbelief on that.
I'm not suspending any disbelief on those movies, on the newer movies. There's no disbelief being suspended. I fully don't believe any of it. It's just insanity. It's in the same way that, like, I fully don't believe that Thanos comes to Earth after the snap of the Infinity. Like, I don't believe any of that shit. I'm just enjoying it, right? Like, it's got a ramped up, ridiculous nature that I appreciate. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, this one is, it's too goofy to be taken seriously, and then it's too serious enough to be enjoyed as just, like, pure popcorn entertainment.
Jeff, would you agree that this movie gives off a goofy vibe in any way? I didn't get goofy at all. This one feels
more
serious.
The goofiness is the car stopping and swinging the safe around and shit. Like,
that's
how
precision driving. They need two precision drivers. That's pretty
That's
good.
That's actually not bad. That was pretty good.
That's pretty good. All right, let's back up
and hit that low of a register.
Let's back up and start from the beginning of this movie here.
We're gonna go. I'm not doing point by point on this movie. It doesn't deserve it.
I think we should go scene by scene, like line by line.
No. No, we're not doing that. But go ahead. I'll let you steer the discussion.
Well, I was going to ask, I will skip over the really quick scene in the beginning where they explain how Toretto gets out and why they're all on the run. That's all fine to me. The scene I want to start with is the original hijack scene of the train where they're boosting the DEA seized supercars.
Okay, but I do want to ask, you're okay with them trying to break a guy off a prison bus by making the bus flip over 15 times?
I did have a note.
It's like, saying, let's put his life at like a serious risk and see if he survives.
I did have a note that says, get out. Like, that was a half-baked plan, but...
yeah, that was a real risky...
Yeah, just assuming that he's going to be able to walk out of there.
I would have really liked him coming out and being like, that was your plan? What if I didn't survive the bus fucking flipping that
shitty
much?
Call, O'Connor. But anyway, so I want to focus on that first car boost scene where we get back to the roots of this franchise, which is, you know, them stealing stuff.
Family.
Right? Family. Yeah, well, I guess that's the real roots of the franchise. But, you know, they do this crazy train carjacking that I thought was sick. I was like, the whole time I was watching, I was like, this is fun, you know?
Like, I like that one.
They bring this ramp up, you know, on this the lift on the back of a truck.
That truck, the way that truck enters the scene, mobbing, just, like, bro. Jumping off a cliff. I was mobbing. Like, this thing is sick.
Yeah, and then, yeah, they mobbed hard on that thing. And then they pull up to the train, and like the only thing I thought was, wow, they were all really standing close to where the like side of that train came flying off. They basically all just like casually duck out of the way of this giant piece of metal just like flying over their heads. But anyway, like that scene, I was like, dude, like this is getting me hyped for some car stuff, man. Like, let's go. We got a GT40 in here. I think I saw a Corvette Stingray. Like, let's go,
that
baby.
GT40 is so clean. Sick.
Yeah.
God clean. Damn, those are nice cars.
Yeah. And like I was like, man, they're really starting this thing out great with some epic cars. Like, this is fun. And then the note I had was the, you know, everything goes wrong. Vin Diesel and Paul Walker, or what the hell is his name? Oh, Brian. That's funny. They have to make a play to get out of there. And they both end up on the Stingray with Brian on the back. And Vin Diesel's not going to be able to slow down. They're going off the edge of the cliff. And they just have this epic shot of them, like, ditching the car into the water. And them, like, I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but, like, that shot as they're, you know, going out to that, you know, chasm with the water underneath the bridge. Mm-hmm. And there's just, like, the slow-mo as they are jumping off the car and trying to, like, jump clear of it. And I was just like, man, how did they get this shot without these guys actually making this jump? Jeff, is there a fun fact in there about that scene?
It looked like CGI to me.
Well, I will say to that point, a lot of this film, so with the stunt coordinators received a lot of negative feedback after the third and fourth film about the amount of CGI that was in the film compared to the first and second film, which are almost entirely practical effects. And so they made a really concentrated effort to use as minimal CGI as possible. And so in the scene where that truck slams into the train, that's all practical effects.
Wow.
So I don't know about this specific scene about them driving the steer. I know the exact shot you're talking about where it's like both of them sprawled out, jumping out beyond the car. Very fun. I don't know. I can't confirm that that is practical effects or not, but I would believe it if someone told me it was.
Yeah, I thought that was a great shot. You know, and then we'll just skip right over the fact that they are just miraculously able to break out of their cuffs when they're arrested by the cartel or seized by the cartel after that jump. You know, somehow these guys are just magical escape artists, which, again, I'm good with the little things being something I look over with a film like this.
I do quickly want to say, in that train scene, two of the cars being stolen. So there's the GT40, right? Which I genuinely was like, oh, that must be the most expensive car on there because of how much of a highlight they put on it. It's worth $2 million right now because they're very rare.
There goes that my Corvette, shot at getting one.
That Corvette that they drive off the cliff is a 1963 Corvette Grand Sport. and it's like a racing edition. And they are worth $10 million.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, but none of the ones that they used for the film are one of the real ones because...
Sure, they're probably kit cars or something.
Yeah, they had to make 5 replicas because they're so difficult to find.
Wow. So, flash forward a little bit. Well, actually, let's back up a little bit because we get, you know, if you'd watch these movies in like sequential order, this is the return of Vince, who was in the first movie, I believe, and then not in any of 2, 3, or 4. How do we feel about Vince being in this? Because it's the first time that we get exposure to what they try to capture in this movie, which is kind of like bringing all the other movies together, right? We get, you know, Han from Tokyo Drift, and we get, I think, the two... like
Giselle Dominican, is from...
The two Dominican brothers or Cuban brothers or whatever they are from like 3 or 4.
Giselle comes from one of those as well.
Yeah. Tyrese Gibson is from number 2, I believe. And is Tej as well? Is Tej number 2?
Yeah, Tej is in number 2 as well.
Yeah, and so everyone kind of comes together in this film, which is the case I'll make for why this movie would have been perfect to wrap up the series. But how did we feel about Vince in this movie?
I mean, I don't care.
Like, he just didn't have a big enough role in the first one to really care about.
He had a big enough role in the first one, but like, he's not a character that you really like latch onto and are like, oh, Vince is back. Sick.
It's although, just kind of although like, although they try to give you the heartstring pull with this whole family thing with this little kid.
I mean, that's sad. I didn't like it because.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
I'm like way more like sensitive to that family, yeah, like having a baby stuff because I'm a dad. And so I was just like, that kid's just not going to know his dad.
This is not cool.
He's just not going to know his dad. And then. When Vin Diesel, at the end of the movie, when Vin Diesel gives him like a gives that mom a bunch of money, I was just like, oh my God, he gave the kid money. Oh, the kid will be fine.
He can't replace the dad with money.
No, it's I'd rather have the money than a dad.
Yeah. But yeah, so, okay, that's fun. I just remember being like hit with a little bit of nostalgia. Like, I remember the first time watching this movie and thinking, oh, it's fun to see him back in it. It's fun for them to bring it full circle like that. But I think, again, it lends itself to why they should have stopped after this film.
I can't remember the first time I saw this movie. There's a good chance that the first time I saw it, I also was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
You know, so this time I was just like, oh, yeah, that guy's in this movie.
So moving on, they hit the DEA seized cars, and that activates Dwayne The Rock Johnson's character, who's like the U.S. government's enforcer and bounty hunter, where he goes out into the far reaches of the world and just drags people back, a la the Rundown style, but now with government funding
and bigger muscles
and a goatee. Yeah, he's been working out now that he's on the U.S. government's dime. He's huge,
so big in this movie. Yeah, he's gigantic crazy
in this movie. The only film he was like he gets bigger for is Hercules.
He was like, I'm going to be bigger than Vin Diesel. 100%, I am going to be bigger than Vin Diesel.
You know, the funny thing is, Vin Diesel's like not even 6 feet tall, right?
No, I think he's like 5'8". He's pretty short.
So that's something that we'll have to touch on during their fight, the discussion of their fight. But
like, throughout really this movie, they're the exact same height.
Yeah.
Oh, no, every scene, Vin Diesel is definitely standing on.
Which is ridiculous because Dwayne The Rock Johnson is like 6'3 or 6'4 or 6'5 or something like that. He's huge.
Yeah, so. I bet Vin Diesel's height on the internet says that he's 6 foot, though. Anyway, what were you going to say about it?
Moving on. So Dwayne The Rock Johnson gets activated. Chris Hemsworth's wife is the only non-corrupt cop in all of Rio. I like her a lot, by the way. And this is in no way me touching on her looks. She's, you know, that speaks for itself. I actually really like her. As an actress. I know in these movies...
I'm sorry, who? Gal Gadot?
No. Chris Hemsworth's wife.
Pataki. Elsa Pataki.
Elsa Pataki, yeah. I've seen her in 1 or 2 things, and every time I'm like, I like her characters. I think she's good. But anyway.
She's okay.
I'm skipping ahead here. Then we get into the epic first confrontation where Dwayne The Rock Johnson arrives to arrest the crew. At the same time that the cartel comes in to kill him and take back the GT-40. And we have this epic the Rio slums chase scene on foot, where you get your first like face-to-face confrontation between Vin Diesel and The Rock, where Vin Diesel just kind of looks back and you know, you just know there's something going to happen there. Dwayne The Rock Johnson's just challenging everybody with his cold-blooded stare, and then snaps a couple necks, and Paul Walker and or Brian and Mia jump through sheet metal roofing. Did you notice that part?
Yeah, where they and just, she's pregnant.
While she's pregnant. And I thought to myself, if those two don't die of tetanus within 2 weeks, I don't understand what's going on. There's no way they're up on their shots and jumping through that
also,
roof.
Also, what do they land on beneath that roof? Does it show that? I don't remember.
I don't know. But I just thought to myself, like, wow, that's one of the last things I'd want to fall through is really crappy, rusty, corrugated sheet metal roofing. That is horrible. And they just gloss right over it. They jump right in. The roof immediately collapses. And then they come running out of the building and keep going like nothing happened. And I'm like, that is not how that would go. You'd get cut up like hell. You'd be in so much pain. Like, why couldn't you guys have done like a clay roofing, you know, as the one they jumped through or something that I can believe that they just broke through and kept moving? That was an interesting creative decision there, I thought. It stood out to me. Moving on here. We get that first chase confrontation. I want to skip ahead to... later in the movie, we start doing the superhero team up with pulling in all the main characters from all the past films. We get Tyrese Gibson back. We get Ludacris. He plays Tej back. We get apparently a character named Giselle, played by Gal Gadot, although apparently her name ain't mentioned in the movie. We get Han from the Tokyo Drift spinoff. The brothers, I don't know if they're Dominican or Cuban. I'm doing them an injustice here, but I think they're Cuban, maybe. Brothers that are kind of like the Tej and Tyrese Gibson counterparts. Like they play the exact same role, essentially, of these like squabbling brother type characters. What are your thoughts on the team up? Did anything stand out at all? Like, do you guys feel like the justification for bringing them all back made sense? I mean, Vin Diesel spends this, like, you know, a couple of seconds being like, we need two precision drivers. We need a guy who can talk his way out of anything. You know, we need a hired gun. You know, like he has like this whole plan. And I kept thinking the whole time, like, are you going to give us the reason why we need all this stuff? Like, you just see everything that's going to play out happening like before it happens. So like, how do you even know that you need all this stuff? You know, it works out. But I think it was more just obviously their excuse to get everybody back on camera. What were you guys' thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is kind of where the film branches out into that heist film genre. This is really where that kind of starts. Film stops being the standard Fast and Furious formula and starts following the standard heist film formula and saying, oh, let's introduce the team, right? Who is it? What are their roles? You get the son of a bitch I'm in moment with each one of them as they join the crew. I mean, it's fine. I do feel like between Gal Gadot's character and the Brazilian or the Cuban brothers, as much as this does feel in many cases like a ensemble cast film, it does feel a little bit bloated because I certainly watching it back after having not seen it in several years, I was like, God, I really don't remember what these brothers do long term in the film.
You know, it's so funny you say that because I was doing the math on what the haul was going to be. And I was like, okay, we're talking about $100 million. And I'm like, yeah, but you got 10 people there or whatever it is. Like
we're talking about 10 mil each. They say that
10 mil, but like we can get into that more later. It's part of my topic for this film, but I don't know. I just thought 10 million, it doesn't go that far in 2023, at least.
I have a question, Jeff. You've been mostly silent. What do you think about this movie? Do you have notes? Do you have thoughts? Do you care about this movie at all?
I mean, I like it. It's certainly not on my annual rewatch list. Haven't seen it in, I don't know, I would say 6 or 7 years.
Long time.
But yeah, I mean, this movie was before The Rock became, I'm not going to say boring, but overutilized in films. this was a film that was...
Well, this is the start of it. This movie, was the, brought the Fast and Furious back from death, basically. And everybody was like, oh, well, what changed? Well, they added The Rock.
Right.
And it's kind of like, well, that's not what made... I mean, he adds to it, sure, but, that's not what gave it the boost. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't adding The Rock to their roster, but...
Right. And I'll say this.
It was a good movie, right, Tyler?
No, it was more that they brought back all of the characters. You know what I mean? They were like, oh, Tyrese is in this one, and Paul Walker, and Jordana Brewster, and Gal Gadot, and Han's back. And, you know what I mean? It's like all the characters you'd gotten introduced to over the last four films, all back, except this one is noticeably missing Letty, which you can feel throughout the whole movie. Michelle Rodriguez is like, not that she adds a whole lot to these movies, because she's often given very little to do. But the whole time I was just like, man, I really feel like they shouldn't have killed her off in the last movie. And I think they felt it. And that's why they bring her back in the next one.
Yep. Well, and they kept steering into it in this film. Like, they kept having Toretto, having these moments of looking at the necklace forlornly, or Vince being like, what about Letty, Dom? Where's Letty? And I'm like, can you get that out of my face? I'm trying to enjoy this movie. Don't remind me that one character is not here.
I feel like I really like Michelle Rodriguez a lot. I don't know why. I know why. She's just a good actress. She has a great presence on screen, I feel.
Yeah.
And she's a great action heroine. You know what I mean? Female action star, I think. And she's one of my favorite parts of these movies. I don't know why. I can't explain it, but I just, when I watch these movies, I always am stoked for her fight scenes and stuff. And yeah, I guess I just felt her absence while watching this movie. I was just like, man, this movie would be just slightly better if Michelle Rodriguez was in it, I think.
So back to my opinion of the film. Fun fact number two, the role of Hobbs was originally written for Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, I think he could have bulked up enough. I think it would have looked good.
I think it would have been a very different film, and I don't think it would have been enough of a difference, right? I think that Rock was used very well for this film. And I think immediately after this film, suddenly he got every acting performance role.
He was perfect for this film, because the Dominic Toretto role is this dominating, strong, imposing character that didn't really have a counterpart. You know, of someone that can look him in the eye and go toe-to-toe with him. Everyone kind of cowers in a way. And then this, Hobbs character is looking him in the face and is like, I'm going to kick your ass, bro. You are not hot shit. It's kind of nice to see somebody act like that with Toretto, because it's what makes Toretto so special other than he's a badass driver? Is he seriously so strong, and I don't know, badass that just nobody's willing to challenge him otherwise? I guess the one time we see it is in the first one, where he beats that dude's head in the Asian mobster or whatever. But then Hobbs does it. But then they let Toretto win the fight. It was like, all right, we're back to square one here. But Hobbs doesn't back down. I thought they used him perfectly. I think you said that right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think this movie was definitely a step up than the previous entries in the franchise. I agree with Brian that I don't necessarily care for the rest of the movies that they have made since. I don't think I watched the movie that came after this. I watched the movie that came after that, the one with Statham. I think it was. I don't know. They make too many of these damn things.
They have a good action scene, and I think the most recent one, or the one before that, where Jason Statham, Dom's baby is kidnapped and on a plane, and Jason Statham is also being held captive on that plane, and then he obviously breaks out, and then he's got the baby in a infant carrier. Brian, you know what I'm talking about? The car seat, right? And he's just killing guys with one hand while holding this baby in the infant carrier in the other. And it's very good. It's actually probably the best scene in that movie, in what is ostensibly a bad movie. But I enjoyed it. So here's you know how Van Helsing is a truly bad movie? The one with Hugh Jackman?
I love that movie, but yes.
Exactly. That's how I feel about the Fast and the Furious movies. It's just... I like them on a level that is just pure entertainment, from just objectively bad, not good writing, not good action, but it's just what is happening? You know what I mean? It's just the frenetic craziness of it is fun. I don't know. That's where I'm at with all of these movies. I agree with you to an
extent,
this one,
although I think there's something died in me when, after number five, they were like, we're going to make four or five more of these. And I thought,
everything. I mean, what? If you're making money, why not?
And then Paul Walker passed away and they were like, cool, we're still making four more. And I was like, what is happening right now? Like, how long can you guys drag this thing out? And then continue.
Why is
to do-
that the problem?
I don't know. I just feel like
you've lost respect for it because
no,
it's been
well,
because
I feel like
long, or?
I feel like the messaging is we're gonna squeeze you for every dollar you're willing to give us for these, and it's like I mean, I want to be loyal to a franchise, but to some extent, it's like you're almost spitting on me for not trying to like make this a complete product. You know what I mean? Like bring this thing home. Don't just make 50 versions so that I keep paying you.
This is a segue into your question, your first part of your question.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So why don't you hit us with it?
Do you guys feel like Fast Five should have been the last entry in the franchise? Why or why not?
I say no, because I think they got more ridiculous afterwards, and that brought the entertainment value back for me. That's personally how I feel. I find them way more entertaining the crazier they go, because I'm able to be like, okay, I don't have to think about this. I can just turn off my brain and watch some crazy, like, okay, here's this insane scenario that would never happen to anyone. How are the characters, as I know them, going to get out of this? You know what I mean? And then you're like, oh, you're going to drive your car into a bridge hook and swing it like Tarzan across a ravine? All right, let's see it, you know? I don't know. I can appreciate the ridiculousness of it. It's just kids playing with action figures. You know, it's just, why not? Why can't it be that, I guess, is where I'm at with it.
Jeff?
So.
I mean, I'll say narratively, if you're looking, like you're saying, for a well-told story, I don't think they're going to be able to tell a better story when they do finally end it than what they've already succeeded with in number five. Or with the Paul Walker Memorial at the end of, I don't know if it was number six or seven, but
seven. Yeah, I would say seven is where they should have actually ended it if they wanted to tell a complete story. Like the way that that movie ends and like they drive off into the sunset, like it feels like an actual ending to the series.
And this now, one didn't. They all retired rich and in non-extradition countries. It's done.
I think any of these movies could have been, like all the way up until seven, any movie ended because they didn't know they were going to get four more. You know what I mean? It wasn't until they were making $1 billion that they were like, okay, never mind. We're never going to stop making these.
Yeah. I mean, so I'll say narratively, I would have been okay if they didn't make another one, right? Like I said, there was nothing in the trailers that I saw for number six that made me come back. I still have, to this day, I've not seen Fast and the Furious number six, or Furious six, whatever the fuck it's called.
Fastly Furious 6.
Yeah. I think
Dude, how furious are these guys? That's the real question.
Yeah, wait. What is Fast and Furious 6? Is that one called Fast and Furious? Is that that one?
I don't know. They've messed with that naming convention in so many ways.
Oh, yeah. These are the most confusing movies to name.
Fate of the Fast Furious.
Apparently, excuse me. Apparently, F9 is called F9 The Fast Saga.
That's so stupid.
Which, what? That seems like that should be the end of the movie. And apparently F10 is called Fasten Your Butthole. I was going to say seatbelt there, didn't you?
So that was good. So yeah, again, narratively, I would have been okay if they did not continue to make movies after this film. Narratively, I would have been okay if they stopped making movies after number seven. I don't think I've seen a Fast and the Furious film after number seven. I think I watched 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, skip 6, watch 7, haven't watched any since. That being said, the purpose of these films from a studio making perspective is to make money, right? It's to introduce the audience to these characters and let the viewers vote with their money, as it were. And
why isn't it dual purpose? Why isn't it dual purpose? Why isn't there a purpose to make money and a purpose to do right by the franchise and make a product that stands the test of time?
Capitalism.
Sure. Yeah, but I mean, like, I would say Tyler's approaching this from the perspective of like Godzilla versus King Kong, No one was approaching that film expecting realism. No one was like, well, a giant monkey clearly wouldn't have taken that approach.
It's fine. I'm like, part of the original conversation with Tyler about liking watching giant robots kick the shit out of each other in Transformers and not really caring about this narrative, but...
I'm not there for the plot in those movies.
But or realistic representation of car races or government agencies or human behaviors.
So I very obviously and predictably feel like this should have been the end of the franchise. The reason being, it is the last time I feel like narratively they could have wrapped things up clean and just ended it. Obviously, hindsight's 2020 about Paul Walker's death. But even with that being considered, this really felt to me like the clean ending that, you know, like I think number one is a classic. I think, honestly, I would also call number two a classic, but that's a personal opinion. I'd get where people would say that one was crap. I think three and four were completely not memorable. And number five, I think, really brought it home. And I remember leaving that film the first time thinking, what a great way to end it. They did a great job of turning, like, getting this back to, like, something of quality. And, like, ever since, that part of it has been completely thrown to the wind in order for me to continue to, like, they're basically banking on my loyalty and every other person's loyalty to, like, continue to buy tickets to continue watching these movies, but they're not continuing to offer the quality anymore because it's not quality. It's just watching people do crazy ass shit with cars.
And I'm here for it.
And it's like, to me, it feels like the same spit in the face that splitting The Hobbit into three movies was.
I'm sorry, but I just don't know what quality you're leaning on. I don't think that these movies have ever had quality. So them leaning into the ridiculous nature of it is actually where the entertainment is found, in my opinion. Because otherwise, I don't think...
That's where we get back to the original disagreement, which is Fast Five is a good movie.
It's a fun heist movie, but it's pretty ridiculous in and of itself. Like, I can turn my brain off and enjoy it, but I don't get the same enjoyment factor as I do watching a bunch of cars dropped in Antarctica while a submarine is breaking through the ice shelf and the cars are driving on top of the submarine.
Tell me that's not one of these movies.
Yeah, that's in eight. Oh, that's God. Insane. I'm like, yeah, that's fucking crazy. Stupid. Let's watch that. That's so funny. That's such a funny concept to me. I'm like, yeah, I will watch that. That's insane that the studio is like, yeah, here's $200 million. Make that happen. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I like these movies now, is I'm like, yeah, they're just making the most ridiculous B-level action movie, but at the A-level production budget. Like, fuck yeah, that's sick.
I don't think there's a right answer here. I think we're just going to have a difference of opinion because I agree in watching something knowing it's going to be ridiculous, but, you know, I feel like Fast Five is not that. I think Fast Five is actually a quality movie that put a pretty ribbon on a franchise that I was at that time looking back on fondly. And since I feel like that
it's gone too far into the ridiculousness.
Yeah. That deteriorates more and more with each new submission. I feel like they're getting further and further away from trying to make this something that stands the test of time.
Sure. That's fine. Yeah. It's Fast Six where they become superheroes, where Dom drives his car into a barrier, flies through the air, catches Letty in the air, and then lands on another car without breaking both of their bodies.
And the car's going in the opposite direction.
Oh, yeah.
No, so he's accelerating, going 90 miles an hour way, and lands in a car going 90 miles an hour in the opposite direction.
Right. Oh, yeah. The idea is that they're catching each other with cars because the floor is lava, apparently, because somehow a car moving 90 miles an hour is less damaging to your body than
the
ground.
The concrete and allowing me to roll in the direction that my body's already naturally moving is bad. But me landing on a fucking steel and glass object going 90 miles an hour in the opposite direction, that's going to feel like couch cushions.
So in this
I love
one,
the concept of catching people with cars. What's up, Ryan?
Yeah, sorry. So in this one, like, you don't get as much of that. I was picking at the whole jumping into a sheet metal roof, but it's not on the same level of just like, give me a break. Like, they're completely fine after that stunt. Like there's no way that has like a 0.something% chance of success. Like, you just want me to believe that he nails that first time without, you know, any real, like, even like emotional reaction. He's just like, I got you, family. All right, I got to go. And like this one, it doesn't do that. Like the chase scene at the end, which, to speak to our genre of movie, like the reason why this movie got picked, even that, like, all you're asking me to do is believe that these two guys that you've sold me on for years as like the best precision drivers on earth are doing precision driving to get away with a bank vault. And I can buy that. I don't think that takes away from the quality at all. I get that probably had a low percent chance of success, but I can believe that these two world-class precision drivers can pull that stunt off.
Understood.
I refuse to believe the driving on the Arctic ice thing with a submarine chasing them. Like, that is bullshit. I don't care how good of a driver you are.
So let's move on then, because we're not going to
reach. What if I told you that Charlize Theron was driving the submarine and also had a bowl cut? Would that sway you?
Bowl cut. Yeah, it'd be a bowl cut.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the one
where she had dreadlocks. Maybe she had dreadlocks in that one. I don't know. She keeps doing crazy shit with her hair. Oh,
that's
awesome.
Let's move on to topic number two, and then I'll hit some fun facts, and we can talk about our what we did in last week.
Sure. So the second part of this topic was, as I pointed out before, the heist is for $100 million, which seems to me to be pocket change for a cartel drug lord.
We are talking about something like 15 years ago or something.
Rio.
You know what I mean?
I mean, $100 million to, you know, Pablo Escobar he wipes his ass with that much money. Like, that is nothing compared to that dude. But that being said, they're stealing $100 million, and I want to say they have somewhere between 8 and 10 crew members. Is that accurate?
Yeah. They say in the movie that each person gets $10 million.
Yes. Okay. I gotta say, with the amount of money it would cost to like get off the grid, get to another country, somewhere without extradition, like, I feel like you'd have to live somewhat frugally to enjoy or to like not have to do something for $10 million. Like,
I'm sorry, dude, but $10 million is a lot of money. Like, right up top, you can get a budget flight to Peru and buy a little house in the suburbs of Peru in like a safe neighborhood of Peru. And then just live off of the land or whatever, not off the land, but you know what I mean? Like,
become a
live off $10 million. $10 million US goes a long way in South America.
It does. It does. You know what I mean? I think what I'm hung up on most is watching Tej and whatever Tyrese Gibson's character's name is, Roman, buying cars that are one of four ever made, and they each have one and they're still living in the US. That's like a
$6 million car.
They're in the US, right?
I mean,
yeah. So in LA, I think
Brian.
Like,
I mean,
I'm like, do you guys just bought a ridiculously expensive car that I feel like is going to eat up most of what you just stole? Like, how are you guys going to continue this lifestyle? This is ridiculous.
I mean, put it this way: how many states do you think that you could live comfortably in, very comfortably, with making six figures, $100,000 even?
Most states.
Because you could afford to pay yourself $100,000 a year for 100 years off of $10 million.
Yeah.
I mean, damn, he's got you there, because I don't make 100K right now and we're doing fine.
Look, in the what Brian and Mia did, which is just go get some beachfront property in some country and just kind of lay low, like 100%, 100%. And that would
like
be my choice.
Three motorcycles. I'd have a dirt bike, I'd have a street bike, and then I'd have some sort of adventure bike for long hauls. And then I'd have like a really nice like 1972 Plymouth Barracuda. And then I'd have like a mid-size SUV for taking my son to school. And then that was like, that's my whole life right there. You know what I mean? That's everything. That's all. Sure. I need.
Like, and they kind of do that. They kind of just have like his little vice, you know, his nice car, and they got this nice beachfront property, and they just keep their heads down. That would be, I think, the way to make that money last. I mean, you got to also keep in mind, these dudes are like, what, in their late 30s?
Mm-hmm.
Like the characters. So, they got a long way to go to make $10 million stretch until...
So quickly, you wanted to say, what would we do with the $10 million, right, if we had done the heist, yeah, right?
Do you see
so
any of their
my
options?
Answer,
as...
My answer, no. None of their answers are what I would go with.
Okay.
My first answer, two girls, same time.
Nice.
That's an Office Space reference, yeah, for anybody who, yeah, doesn't know. Literally Brian and Mia's option is the one for me. Like, I would find a place. I don't know if I would want to live... The problem is that they have to live outside of the U.S. And to be honest, I've been outside of the U.S. to a lot of places, and I don't think I want to live outside of the United States. I like, as for all the problems that we have and all the issues that we have, like, I still really like the United States a lot. So it'd be really hard for me to be like, okay, I'll do this heist job, but I can never come back. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? That would be tough. So do we, are we also not allowed to come back to the U.S.?
You're convicts.
Is that part of your story?
Hobbs is chasing you. You're not going back to the States.
Well, he's chasing Vin Diesel. He's not coming after.
But yeah, how did, what if how I agree to the events of Fast and the Furious 7 and I get to come back to L.A.? No, I'm kidding.
Well, Brian, Tyrese and Tej are, we're not a part of the prison break.
But they got.
They come in afterwards.
Yeah.
And the money that they stole is from Brazil. So they're on the run. They just have to get out, stay out of Brazil's way.
That's fair. That's fair. So you're Vin Diesel. Hobbs is coming for you.
Yeah. That's the part that it becomes a problem for me. Because, like, I don't really, I guess I would move to Iceland, probably. I really liked Iceland a lot. I just, like, buy a house in Reykjavik.
Yeah.
Change
I'm,
my name.
I'm picturing the island in James Bond, where he's at with whatever his buddy is from Casino Royale. You know, the older guy that gets killed or whatever.
Felix Leiter?
No, not Felix. Not the American.
Mathis?
No, Mr. White?
The silver-haired guy. That and so
Mathis,
yeah. So you
Jeff
know,
said it,
you know how he goes and recruits Mathis on that like island in like Mykonos or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think they're in southern Italy, but yeah,
I'd be going for a place like that. I mean, obviously, I'd have to check the extradition laws there or treaty there.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is like you'd have to like what you do. I mean, you're tapped into the criminal underworld, right? So you can get a fake passport and fake immigration documents pretty easily, you would assume. And or not easily, but you have connections to get that. Just change your identity and pick a place that has a low population. You know what I mean? And yeah, just like being in like in Reykjavik and just going and getting like a desk job, grow out your hair into a different way, grow a mustache or goatee, something to obscure your identity. And then just that's your new identity. You know what I mean? And you have 10 mil. You work part time as a bartender. You know what I mean? Just mm-hmm. something to just disguise. And then you just keep your head down and just live a nice life in a beautiful place. I mean, Brian, you went to Iceland last year. It's one of the most incredible places you could possibly live on the planet. I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, I'd probably choose a place with a little bit more sun, a little less wind. But anyway.
I like the cold. So that's why I chose that.
I don't think that you could afford to live on, like at your age right now, I don't think you could afford to live in Iceland on $10 million for the rest of your life. It is very expensive there.
I mean, again,
yeah, that's true. Their economic system is a shit show.
And again, we got to factor in that we're in our 30s, like the early 30s too. Like you're.
I think you could though. I'm sorry. I think you could.
Again, you could. Brian, so you could afford to pay yourself a six-figure salary for over 100 years, which means if you cut off 30 of those years, you could buy a $30 million house or a $300,000 house. No, it'd be a $3 million house and still be able to afford yourself a six-figure salary for 70 years.
Yeah, and I think you could just live.
You can easily buy a house and still afford to afford anything that you'd ever want. I mean, I currently live in.
Are there any
one of the most
first
expensive...
world? Are there any first world non extradition countries? I'm trying to
probably,
think.
Probably China.
Yeah, but I don't want to live in China. I have to learn to speak Mandarin. That sounds tough.
Anyway, I think we could wrap it there. I think, I just kind of got this thought, like, man, none of these guys are old people. Like, you know, you're really gonna have to have a plan. You can't just go out there and spend willy nilly like Tyrese Gibson. Dropping millions of dollars on a car.
The hard part.
Being like, I got the other one, you know.
The hard part's got to be
two.
Whenever the next heist starts up, you don't have the option to refuse. You just have to automatically say, son of a bitch, I'm in. And then you're...
Son of a bitch, I'm in. You talk me into it.
You haven't even seen that episode of Rick and Morty, Brian, but it's very funny.
I thought we were talking about a Key and Peele skit.
Yeah. You got me.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, which
you misunderstood me. I want you to teach the new.
You always know what to say to bring me back.
I gotta watch.
Yeah, that's such a great sketch. Anyway. For anyone who doesn't know, it's called like One Last Job or something like that.
All right,
one
last of the best last question on this. We'll move on. Who's your favorite in the crew? Who's your favorite character?
Michelle Rodriguez, Letty.
Sure. She's not in this friggin' movie, but that's fine.
I know, but I feel like she's the best character in these movies.
Give me a less painful answer.
I will say Brian O'Connor is probably my favorite.
I don't really
like
Vin Diesel's character. So I'd have to say Paul Walker. Yeah. Brian O'Connor.
I think Paul Walker or that character brings like a very like respectable energy of just like, let's fucking do it, bro. I'm in. You crazy bastard. I'm in. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, that seems like a fun life to have. Like, to just, I wish I had that attitude. I wish I wasn't so pessimistic or whatever, you know? I will say again, Paul Walker dated an underage girl for a significant portion of his life while he was famous. So he's not necessarily someone to idolize, but, you know, his character in this movie seems cool.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think his is the most fun character. I think that's a clean sweep there for Paul Walker's Brian character. Anyway.
I feel like being like Vin Diesel is kind of an, or not Vin Diesel. Well, I do think Vin Diesel is kind of annoying, but what's his character in this called?
Dominic Toretto.
Dominic Toretto is kind of annoying. He's just so like, I'm a badass. Wait, how do you do it, Brian? We could hit your voice again. Say, I'm a badass.
Your mistake was thinking you're in America.
Yeah.
This is Brazil. This is Brazil.
So annoying. I don't like him. I feel like he would be a nightmare to hang out with.
So let me hit you with some fun facts before we get off the topic of the film. Tyrese Gibson was shooting this film at the same time that he was shooting Transformers Dark of the Moon, which is Brian's favorite Transformers film. And he
what? Was... Is that true? It's the worst one.
Transformers 3?
No, that's... Wait, is that Dark? No, that's not Dark of the Moon.
What's Transformers
3 called? That's Revenge... Oh, no, wait. No, yeah, that is Dark of the Moon. Never mind. That is the best Transformers film.
Yeah.
I thought you were... Revenge of the Fallen is the one I was thinking of. That's second one. That one's bad.
And so he was flying back and forth between shoots between Puerto Rico and Atlanta in order to film both movies at the same time, which is strange. Most actors don't do that.
Wait, they filmed this movie in Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
Not in Brazil?
Correct. This movie was filmed almost entirely in Puerto Rico.
That's kind of a bummer to hear.
Yep.
Okay. Anyway.
So during the Puerto Rican shoot, the production team employed 236 technicians and 13,145 extras that took up a total of 16,824 room nights in total. And added a total of $27 million to the Puerto Rican economy.
That's amazing. These fun facts are not that fun. You got any really good ones, though?
Vin Diesel was paid more money than his character would have made by the end of the film.
That is a good one.
You got paid $15 million to appear in this film.
That's a good one to end on because I really need to go to the bathroom and we still have a whole other segment.
Okay.
I'm like sitting here shaking. So
first, Fast and the Furious movie to be over 2 hours. How about that?
I'm going to pull a Brian and take my microphone into the bathroom if we don't move on. I'm not kidding.
All right. Tyler, what did you do this week?
What was I watching, reading, or listening to?
Yeah.
I watched the last episode of The Last of Us. Did anyone else?
Nope.
Has anyone else caught up? Oh, God damn it. Yes, I am. Talk about it. I wanted to talk about it, but Jeff will wait for you to catch up. Okay. I'm 1 week behind on The Mandalorian, and that's pretty much all I've had time for this week as far as watching anything. I haven't watched anything else. Although I did see that they just put the Puss in Boots Last Wish on one of the streaming services I have, and I hear that movie is really good, so I think I might throw that on. People are like, not even this like as a good kids movie, it's just like a good movie.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it too. Shocking.
So I'm probably going to chuck it on because I was like, this is going to be a terrible movie. And then people are like, no. It's like 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm like, how? So probably going to throw that on tonight. Brian?
I'll keep mine quick. Just churning through Hunter season 2. Always Sunny in Philadelphia has made somewhat of a comeback for me. It was kind of dragging there for a few episodes and now I'm loving it again. So, back to playing NBA 2K23 because I beat the Hogwarts Legacy storyline.
Overall satisfying.
Great game. And Jeff and I have talked about this at length, but I'm hoping it turns into a franchise of games.
Did you buy it digital or physical?
Digital.
Damn. I was gonna say, just let me borrow it. Don't make me buy it. It's okay. Cool. Is that everything?
That is everything for me.
Jeff, I'll keep mine quick too. Haven't started Mandalorian. Made it 3 episodes into The Last of Us. Haven't booted it back up. Most of my free time, I've been reading the Brandon Sanderson book, The Tress of the Emerald Sea. But last night I did start Shadow and Bone season 2. I know Tyler really liked
that. Oh yeah. Show. I started watching that yesterday too. I forgot about that. I'm 3 episodes in. And it's It's not grabbing me the way that the first season did.
I still think the Crows concept is still really riveting. I still like those
actors. Oh, yeah. By far, the best part of the show is watching them. I don't really like the whole love story shit. I don't care about that. I love the Crows. I wish the whole show was just about them. Apparently, they're considering doing a spinoff of just the Crows. And I hope they do. I think they should because it's the best part.
I broke out my PS2. And my roommate and I have been playing a bunch of old PS2 games. Right now we're playing through Lord of the Rings Return of the King multiplayer.
Dude, underrated. I don't know how if that move that game is rated, but that is one of the best PS2 games.
I figured I'd get Brian, a response out of you guys.
Can probably echo that.
Yeah,
we played that game so much. I still think of we've seen it before but never like this when you first enter Rohan and Eomer's there, and then like a berserker runs out with a bomb strapped to his back and like blows up a wagon.
Yeah.
I just think about that line all the time, or I use it whenever. Anyway, it's dumb, but that game is sick. We played that game for, I don't know, 2 years straight, just kept restarting it every time we'd beat it.
Yeah. I went through a bunch of old saves. I could not find anything where we had made a bunch of character progression, so we're starting over.
That's good. All right. And honestly, that's probably the best way to go. Tyler. I also remember that one part where you're walking down to Moria. And we were just like, wait, 1, 2, 3, 4. Wait, there's too many people in this party. And then all of a sudden, the goblin just started stabbing us.
Shaking like, Brian. Yeah.
Yeah. very funny.
Tyler, what's our next topic? What's our next film?
Oh, shit.
You specifically requested to be the next topic and the next film. Why is no one having fun? I specifically requested it.
I'm gonna have to get back to you guys.
All right.
All the poop in me is just like up to my brain, and now it's just like all gross. I can't stop thinking.
Fans,
you're a horrible person.
Fans, write it down. Tyler is unprepared.
I will edit it into the podcast, and I'll text you guys when I think of it. Okay.
Cool.
All right. Here's Tyler coming a couple days later here while I'm editing the podcast. The topic that I chose is the most dangerous game. So movies in which a man is hunting a man. And the first movie is appropriately named The Hunted. It's a William Friedkin movie starring Tommy Lee Jones and Benicio del Toro. So yeah.
All right. Otherwise, thank you guys so much for listening. And we'll see you next week for whatever movie I just edited into the podcast before this spot right now. So right. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.
Later, dudes.